Welcome to the podcast series of Middle East and Africa Textile Journal.
Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be here.
What if I told you that the entire foundation of a $90 billion global luxury market rests almost entirely on, on the geometric irregularities of a single piece of calfskin?
It sounds kind of impossible when you put it like that.
Right. But today we're pointing our magnifying glass at something that sits at the absolute pinnacle of high-end fashion. We're drawing from this really fascinating piece in the Kohan Textile Journal by Benham Ghassemi. And, we are looking at Togo leather.
Oh, yeah. Go, go.
Okay, let's unpack this, because on the surface, you, our listener, might be thinking, I mean, it's just leather, right? Why are we doing a whole deep dive on a specific type of leather?
Which is a fair question, honestly.
Yeah, but understanding Togo leather is honestly like looking at the secret mechanics behind a magic trick.
Oh, I like that.
Like, when you see a spectacular illusion on stage, you're just amazed by the final result, right? But once you go backstage and you start to understand the intricate gears, the engineering, the precise timing that actually makes the trick work, you just gain a completely different appreciation for it.
Right, the performance completely changes for you.
Exactly. And once you understand the mechanics of this specific material, you actually start to understand the entire mythos of modern luxury.
You really do. I mean,
Right.
it truly is the backstage engineering of the fashion world. Because Togo leather is the driving force behind some of the most, coveted items on earth.
Oh, absolutely.
If you've ever seen, or honestly even just heard of, the famous Hermès Birkin bag,
Right, the holy grail of bags.
exactly, or the Kelly bag,
Yeah.
you are more than likely looking at Togo leather. And we're using this today not just to talk about a single handbag, but really as a window into the broader global luxury leather market.
Which is massive, by the
Oh,
way.
it's a market projected to exceed $90 billion by 2030.
Wow. Wait, 90 billion?
90 billion.
Of,
And
yeah.
that level of economic scale,
Yeah.
it doesn't happen by accident. And it definitely doesn't happen just because you slap a brand logo on something.
Right.
It happens because of the material science going on at the microscopic level.
Okay, 90 billion is just a staggering amount of capital riding on like the characteristics of tanned calfskin. So to really demystify this material for you, we have to start with what it physically is. And right off the bat, the text points out this highly surprising fact about its origins.
Oh, the name. Yeah.
Yes, the name itself is essentially a geographical myth.
It is a complete misdirection. So, Togo leather first gained international fame back in the 1990s when Hermès introduced it as a new option for their handbags. And while it's named after the West African country of Togo, the leather does not actually originate from there at all.
Wait, really? It has nothing to do with the country?
Nothing at all. It is purely a naming convention.
Which totally begs the question, why name it after a place it has absolutely no connection to? I mean, that seems kind of random.
Well, it really comes down to the psychology of luxury marketing. High-end brands have this long-standing tradition of naming their leathers after various global locations.
Oh, to make it sound exotic.
Exactly. To evoke a sense of worldliness, travel, exoticism, it builds a narrative around the product. But to understand its true value, we have to kind of ignore the marketing and look at the actual geometry. We need to look at what's physically happening on the surface of this material.
Okay, let's get into those mechanics. Because when you say leather, I think most people just picture a perfectly smooth, flat surface, like a leather jacket or something.
Right, but Togo is fundamentally different. What's fascinating here is what the tanning and finishing process actually does to the hide.
Okay, how so?
Fundamentally, tanning is a chemical process, right? It alters the protein structure of a raw animal hide so it becomes durable, flexible, and resistant to decay.
Sure, the standard leather process.
Right. But with Togo, it is the specific mechanical finishing that really defines it. Togo is a pebbled calfskin. During the manufacturing process, the hides are put into these massive wooden drums and they're just tumbled.
Wait, they literally tumble the leather, like in a dryer.
Basically, yeah. And this mechanical action, the continuous tumbling, actually causes the hide to shrink slightly.
Oh, interesting.
And as it shrinks, the natural grain of the skin pulls together and raises up into these tiny irregular bumps or pebbles.
Okay, so they tumble it specifically to make it shrink and bunch up into this bumpy texture. Let me push back for a second, though.
Go for it.
Because that sounds like a purely aesthetic choice. Like, why does a raised, bumpy surface make this the apex predator of the luxury market? What does this actually mean for the person carrying the bag through, I don't know, an airport or putting it down on a restaurant chair?
It's a great question. And it might seem like just an aesthetic choice, but it's actually brilliant material engineering. Think about how light hits a surface.
Okay.
On a perfectly smooth, flat piece of leather, any tiny graze from, say, a fingernail or a set of keys, it creates a scratch that breaks the uniform reflection of light.
Right, and you see it instantly.
Instantly. Your eye catches that scuff because it disrupts the smooth plane. But on a pebbled surface like Togo, the light is already scattering in a million different directions off those raised bumps.
Oh, wow. I never thought about that.
Yeah. Because the surface is deeply textured, everyday marks and scuffs are visually broken up and absorbed into the pattern. They are far, far less visible.
That makes so much sense. It's essentially optical camouflage for daily wear and tear.
Precisely. It's optical camouflage. And woven through those little raised pebbles are these really subtle, natural veins that give it an organic, unique fingerprint.
That's super cool.
But beyond the scratch resistance, the drumming process also affects how the material holds color. The specific porosity of Togo calf skin absorbs dyes incredibly evenly.
So it doesn't just sit on top.
Exactly. Instead of the color just sitting on the top layer like paint, it penetrates deeply into the structure of the hide. And this results in incredibly rich, saturated shades that literally retain their vibrancy for decades.
Okay, I hear all of this. The raised grain, the light deflection, the dye absorption. That all sounds amazing.
Right.
But what about the structure? Because if I'm buying a highly structured architectural handbag, is this tumbled, shrunken leather going to actually hold up? Or is it going to just turn into a sad puddle on my floor after a few years?
That is the crucial question. And it really highlights Togo's two most important physical traits, which are its weight and its structural integrity.
Okay.
Despite being incredibly tough, Togo is surprisingly lightweight compared to other luxury leathers of the exact same thickness.
Really? Lightweight and tough.
Yes. And more importantly, it has immense shape retention. It simply does not slouch over time. A bag made of Togo leather will hold its sharp, rigid elegance for years, even with daily use.
Oh, I love this. You know what it sounds like? It sounds exactly like the carbon fiber of the fashion world.
Oh, carbon fiber. Okay, tell me more.
Well, think about it. Carbon fiber is heavily prized in aerospace or like high-end sports cars because it is incredibly tough. It holds its rigid structure under immense pressure, yet it's shockingly lightweight.
Right, yeah.
It allows you to build something strong without weighing it down. Togo leather is doing the exact same thing, just for high-end fashion. It provides the durability you need without the heavy burden you'd expect from a thick, structured material.
That is a phenomenal way to frame it. It really is. It is highly engineered by nature and refined by process to hit a very specific sweet spot of performance.
But if Togo is the carbon fiber here, if it hits this perfect intersection of structured, lightweight, and scratch-resistant, the obvious question is why any luxury brand would ever bother using anything else.
That's a very fair point.
Right. Why isn't every single high-end bag just made of Togo? To really understand its dominance, we have to look at the underlying engineering trade-offs in the luxury market. We kind of have to compare it directly to its alternatives.
Because context is everything. The source material outlines three other major calfskins that luxury houses utilize. And contrasting them shows exactly why Togo is the undisputed champion of what we might call the Goldilocks dilemma.
Yes, the Goldilocks dilemma.
Yep.
Let's debate these alternatives because looking at the list in the text, I have to say, Swift leather sounds superior on paper.
Swift is beautiful, yeah.
The text describes it as having this beautiful, glossy, luminous finish. It sounds incredibly sleek. If you're spending thousands of dollars, wouldn't a flawless, luminous finish be the ultimate gold standard?
Well, it looks breathtaking right out of the box. Absolutely. Swift is entirely smooth with zero pebbling.
Okay.
But remember the physics of light reflection we just talked
about.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Because that surface is totally flat and smooth, it acts almost like a mirror. It is a total magnet for scratches.
So every single bump is visible.
Every single graze is going to show up immediately. It is stunning,
yeah,
but it is highly, highly delicate.
Okay, so Swift is too fragile for a daily workhorse bag. What about Clemens leather? How does that alter the engineering trade-off?
So Clemens goes in a totally different direction.
Mm.
It is a pebbled leather like Togo, but it is known for being noticeably softer and significantly heavier.
Wait. Heavier.
Yes. And because the structure of the hide is softer, it completely lacks that rigid carbon fiber-like architecture we just praised. It is highly prone to slouching.
Oh, so gravity just takes over.
Exactly. Over time, gravity wins.
Yep.
A Clemens bag will pool at the bottom and kind of lose its sharp lines. Now, if your design calls for a relaxed, casual, slouchy hobo-style bag, Clemens is fantastic.
Right, but it can't hold an architectural shape.
It really can't.
So Swift is too delicate and Clemens is too heavy and slouchy. That leaves Epsom leather.
Epsom is fascinating because it solves the slouching problem, but it creates a whole new one.
Of course it does.
Epsom is very rigid, it's very lightweight, and highly moisture resistant. It holds its shape beautifully.
Wait, if it's rigid, lightweight, and handles moisture, why isn't it the winner?
Because of how it actually gets those properties,
Yeah.
Epsom leather is artificially embossed.
Artificially.
Yeah, the grain you see on it isn't coaxed out naturally in a wooden drum like Togo. It is literally pressed into the leather. They take a massive heated metal plate with a repeating pattern and just stamp it into the hide under immense pressure.
Oh, wow. So it's stamped.
Exactly. And because of that artificial pressing, it completely lacks the natural organic depth and the subtle irregular veining of Togo. It feels a bit more manufactured, almost plastic-like to the touch.
Okay, which perfectly illustrates the Goldilocks dilemma. Clemens is too slouchy and heavy. Epsom is too rigid and lacks organic character. Swift is too delicate and prone to scratching.
Exactly.
And then you have Togo leather just sitting perfectly in the middle ground. It's supple enough to feel deeply luxurious and natural, but structured enough to hold a precise architectural form. It's tough enough to deflect scratches, but light enough to carry every day. It's just right.
And because it is the just right material, it has become incredibly valuable. And as we know, in the global market, extreme value inevitably breeds extreme replication.
Here's where it gets really interesting. This plunges us right into the high-stakes world of authentication.
Yes, the fakes.
Right, because if you're going to invest in a material that anchors a $90 billion market, you need to know exactly how to spot the real deal. The counterfeit market is, incredibly sophisticated.
They are sophisticated, but they really struggle with the organic realities of material science. The source material provides a very clear checklist for identifying genuine Togo. And it all comes back to that drumming process we discussed earlier.
Okay, what's on the checklist?
First, in genuine Togo leather, that pebbled pattern is entirely natural, which means it is fundamentally irregular. It is never, ever perfectly uniform.
Which makes total sense when you think about it. I mean, it's an organic material from an animal. Skin stretches and moves differently in different areas. It's not a plastic mold.
Precisely. Synthetic fakes, or even cheaper leathers that have been heavily embossed to mimic Togo, will always have a repeating, perfectly stamped pattern.
Because machines made it.
Right. Genuine Togo varies across the surface. The pebbles might be slightly larger and flatter in one corner, and tighter and more pronounced in another. That subtle irregularity is the undeniable signature of authenticity. Nature just isn't perfectly uniform.
What about the physical feel of it? Like, if you have a bag in your hands and you're trying to authenticate it, what are your fingers looking for?
You're checking for structural resilience. Authentic Togo is soft, but structured. So when you press your thumb firmly into the material, it should spring back.
Like it has some life to it.
Exactly. It should feel resilient and alive without feeling overly stiff or, coated in plastic. It is a very delicate balance of moisture and fiber strength that artificial materials consistently fail to replicate. They either feel way too mushy or they feel stiff and synthetic.
The text also mentions craftsmanship as a major giveaway, which goes beyond just the leather itself.
Oh, definitely. Because the material demands perfect execution. As we noted, genuine Togo is noticeably lighter than many other calfskins of the same thickness. So if the bag feels unusually heavy before you even put your wallet inside, that's an immediate red flag.
Good to know.
And of course, luxury brands that utilize true Togo maintain mathematically precise quality control. The stitching will be angled consistently. The cuts will be pristine. You don't use the world's most perfectly balanced leather and then hand it to a sloppy manufacturer.
Yeah, that would make no sense. Okay, so let's say you've passed the authentication test, you've navigated the Goldilocks dilemma, you checked the grain, and you finally acquired this holy grail of leather.
Congratulations.
Right, but how do you ensure you don't accidentally ruin it? Because I imagine the absolute worst feeling in the world is investing thousands of dollars in a piece of functional art and then destroying it yourself simply because you took care of it the wrong way.
Oh, it happens all the time. The care regimen for Togo is actually defined by what you shouldn't do, just as much as what you should do.
Really? Okay, what's the baseline?
The environmental basics are pretty straightforward. When you aren't using the item, store it in a breathable dust bag. Keep it away from direct sunlight, which can chemically break down and fade those brilliant dyes over time,
Makes sense.
and keep it away from extreme prolonged humidity, which can warp the organic fibers.
And what if it gets dirty? Like if I spill something on it or it just needs a cleaning?
Only ever use a soft, dry microfiber cloth.
That's it. No sprays.
None. You want to avoid excessive moisture or harsh chemical cleaners at all costs. Chemicals will strip the natural finish and literally alter the molecular structure of that beautiful pebbled grain.
But here's the most crucial warning from the text, and I really want to highlight this because this is a trap I think a lot of well-meaning people fall into. They think they're doing the right thing, but they're actually ruining the bag.
You are talking about the danger of overconditioning.
Yes, you buy this beautiful, expensive leather product, and well, human nature kicks in. You think, I need to protect this investment. I need to buy the most expensive, luxurious leather conditioner on the market and slather it on every single month.
And that is exactly how you destroy the structural integrity of Togo leather.
It's crazy.
The text explicitly warns against overconditioning, and there's a real scientific reason for it. Genuine Togo already contains a highly precise balance of natural oils locked within the cellular structure of the hide during the tanning process.
Okay.
Those internal oils are what give it that signature resilience and softness while maintaining its tough exterior. If you continuously add external conditioners, lotions, or waxes, you overwhelm the porosity of the material.
It's like, you know what? It's like overwatering a cactus. You
Yes.
think you're nurturing it, you think you're helping it thrive, but you're actually drowning it from the outside in because it already has all the water it needs stored safely inside.
That is the perfect analogy. When you overcondition Togo, the fibers become overly saturated. The leather loses its signature resilience. It becomes mushy. The textured grain gets smoothed out and compromised. You fundamentally destroy the delicate balance of structure and softness that makes Togo unique in the first place.
Yeah.
You just have to
Jeez.
trust the material to do its job.
Wow. And this careful preservation, this deep respect for the material's natural lifespan, it really ties into the macro level themes of our deep dive today.
It really does.
Because the way we care for a piece of Togo leather directly reflects how the broader global fashion industry is shifting. We're looking at a massive movement towards sustainability and changing economic behaviors.
Absolutely. If we connect this to the bigger picture, when you look at the economics, that booming $90 billion market we mentioned at the start isn't just about people buying a higher volume of things. It's
Right.
about consumer psychology shifting toward buying different kinds of things. The demand for long-lasting, durable luxury is driving massive market growth, particularly across Europe, North America, and crucially, East Asia.
Yeah, the text specifically highlights the absolute explosion of demand in emerging markets like China and the Middle East. Why is Togo leather specifically resonating so powerfully in those distinct cultural regions?
Because it hits a very specific intersection of cultural prestige and economic practicality.
How so?
Well, in those emerging luxury markets, there is a deep, profound appreciation for heritage, the prestige of old-world European artisanal craftsmanship.
Yeah.
But simultaneously, these are regions characterized by incredibly fast-paced modern lifestyles.
Right, they need things to actually work.
Exactly. Togo leather bridges that gap perfectly. It offers the historical prestige, but it isn't a fragile museum piece that you have to leave in a glass case. It's a highly engineered luxury product that can actually keep up with a daily commute, international travel, and constant use without falling apart. It is heritage made practical.
But just to keep our view totally objective here, we should acknowledge that it isn't magic. It isn't completely without its drawbacks, and the source material is very clear about the limitations of this leather.
Yes, it is incredibly important to weigh the trade-offs. We've spent a lot of time praising its durability and its rigid shape retention, but the exact trade-off for that structure is that it is fundamentally less soft than relaxed leathers like Clement's.
Right.
If your personal preference is a bag that melts effortlessly into your side when you carry it, Togo is going to feel way too stiff for you.
Oh, fair enough.
Furthermore, it is prohibitively expensive. You are paying a massive premium, not just for the brand association, but for the immense, time-consuming artisanal craftsmanship required to drum and process the hide correctly.
And it's hard to get.
Exactly. Finally, there's the sheer reality of limited availability. You cannot just walk into a random boutique and buy genuine high-grade Togo leather off the shelf.
But interestingly, those exact high costs and that limited availability feed directly into a concept the text calls slow fashion.
Right. Slow fashion is the direct antithesis of the fast disposable clothing industry that has dominated the global supply chain for the last 3 decades.
The wear it once and toss it culture.
Exactly. When a consumer purchases a bag made of authentic Togo leather, they are not buying it for a single season. They keep it for decades. They actively maintain it. They pass it down to the next generation. This drastically reduces the cycle of consumption and replacement, which naturally reduces the immense strain on global resources.
And the luxury houses themselves are having to adapt to this new expectation of sustainability, right? Like they can't just rely on the old methods.
Exactly. The source notes a significant shift at the production level. These heritage brands are actively moving toward traceable sourcing, ensuring they know exactly where the hides come from. And they're investing heavily in eco-conscious tanning methods.
That's great to hear.
Yeah, they're tweaking centuries-old chemical processes to ensure that the production of calfskins like Togo aligns with rigorous modern environmental standards regarding water usage and chemical runoff.
This is such a huge insight for you to take away from this. The high price tag of Togo leather isn't merely a status symbol or like a logo flex. It is essentially a long-term investment in sustainability. It represents a total paradigm shift in how we think about our own consumption. The idea here is that true environmental responsibility might not just be about buying lots of recycled plastic bags. It might mean buying one impeccably crafted, highly engineered, incredibly durable item that lasts a literal lifetime, rather than constantly replacing cheaper synthetic goods that inevitably tear, fall apart, and end up in a landfill every 2 years.
It's a model of consumption that is durable, responsible, and deeply respectful of the underlying material science and craftsmanship involved.
Yeah.
It proves that supreme aesthetic beauty can absolutely go hand in hand with daily practicality and long-term sustainability.
Which perfectly brings our investigation full circle. We've journeyed from a geographical myth, a 1990s naming convention that misled us about the leather's West African origins, through the deep material science of tumbling and shrinking that creates its perfectly irregular, scratch-deflecting, pebbled grain.
It's been quite a ride.
Right. We've debated the Goldilocks dilemma to see exactly why its carbon fiber-like balance of structure and weight beats out its slouchy or delicate competitors. We've learned how to spot a sophisticated fake by checking for the irregular flaws of nature and seen how avoiding the trap of overconditioning protects its delicate internal oils.
Save the cactus.
Exactly. And finally, we've zoomed out to see Togo's starring role in anchoring a $90 billion slow fashion future.
It really is a remarkable intersection of nature, mechanical engineering, and global economics. It's a fascinating shift, especially when you consider how we define authenticity.
What do you mean?
Well, this raises an important question. As we mentioned earlier, the hallmark of genuine Togo, the very thing that proves it is real and not a synthetic fake, is its perfectly imperfect, irregular natural grain. The counterfeits are the ones that are flawlessly uniform.
Right.
It makes you wonder, as we move into an era where artificial materials can be manufactured in a lab to look absolutely mathematically flawless, maybe our future definition of ultimate luxury will shift entirely.
How interesting.
Maybe luxury will no longer be about flawless uniformity, but instead become entirely about celebrating the unique, unreplicable flaws in naturally sourced materials.
That is an incredible thought to leave on. The idea that true luxury in an age of perfect machines is ultimately found in the imperfections of nature. To you, our listener, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the things around you. Keep looking for the hidden mechanics beneath the surface of the materials you interact with every single day, and we'll see you next time.